The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from the Clark County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Wright Memorial Library, and Dayton Metro Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. I'd like to welcome back to the program today Paul Goldberg. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Vic. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Paul, last time we had you on was for your novel, The Yid. And you've returned with a novel called The Chateau. How did you get the idea for this one?
Well, the inspiration came from real life events at my father's condominium, but it was really only the inspiration, because what I wanted to do was write a novel about life in the condominiums in South Florida. So basically, kind of a microcosm. It's a kleptocratic regime, and it's a microcosm of America today. So that's a short version of it.
And you decided to set it during the days right before the inauguration of President Donald Trump, and I'm sure you did this for a good reason.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I was actually initially I was setting it a little bit earlier, because the timing really didn't matter. But as Trump became more of a viable candidate, and as he was starting to win, and when he actually won, I thought, why don't I move it up to the time of the inauguration, which happens to coincide with the condo board election at this fictional condominium. So it's kind of an interplay between events, real life events, and events that I made up.
Your protagonist is someone who I think Donald Trump wouldn't like very much. For one thing, he's worked for the Washington Post, and for another thing, he's a loser.
Right. He definitely he's a loser. I heard this book described as noir, and I kind of have to agree with that. I thought it was just basically dark humor, but it's really more of a detective as reporter who's kind of bumbling, or reporter as detective, or he's not really a reporter. But yes, he's very much a loser. His career is over. He's kind of done. And then he ends up finding a story that he hopes would lead to a book that might revive his career. And the story is about his college roommate, who is a plastic surgeon, falling to his death from the 43rd story balcony in South Florida. But the only way he can actually bill, or the protagonist can get to Florida or stay in Florida, is if he stays at his father's condo. And his father and he have been estranged for 12 years. So, yes, Bill is very much a nebbish, if you pardon my French. Very much so. And his father has nothing but contempt for him.
Paul, you grew up speaking Yiddish, didn't you?
Well, actually, I mostly grew up speaking Russian and English. I speak Yiddish. I don't really truly speak Yiddish. I can get around in Yiddish a little bit, not as well as I should. Well enough to have written all the Yiddish parts of my previous novel. This novel doesn't really have much Yiddish at all.
It's got lots of Russian, though. Yeah.
Oh, tons.
Yeah. Well, you have something in common then with Bill, your protagonist, because you both grew up in Russia and then moved to the U.S.
Oh, truly, truly. He and I do have something in common. He is a science writer. I am a science writer. He's Russian. I'm Russian as well. Our age is different. And I've been called many things. I've never really been called a nebbish. So I'm really don't have that in common with him. And his life is a complete mess, and mine is quite wonderful, even if I say so myself. So it's a little bit, there's a lot of difference. Plus, my father is a wonderful guy, and Bill's father is a criminal. So it's kind of a, what I really wanted to do was set, was pay homage to two Russian writers. One of them, of course, Turgenev with Fathers and Sons, and the other is Gogol with Inspector General. So it's kind of a case of fathers and sons in locked in this mortal, eternal battle, and also the case of mistaken identity in this kleptocratic structure of this fictional building. And that's, so it's kind of, it's a replay. It's really a replay of two great Russian books.
Paul Goldberg joins me. His book is The Chateau. And as we are recording this, this is the official publication date for the novel.
Yes.
I love his dad, the criminal. I love this guy.
Oh, you
do? Oh, man.
Oh, that's so great.
He is so great. What a wonderful guy.
He really kind of is in his own way. What I loved about that guy is, as I was writing him, I kind of had to figure out how to build a total larger-than-life character. So I did. He lives in his own universe, but the universe that he lives in, that's actual universe, actually conforms to his own. So he's very fortunate in that sense. Whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction, my view is that it really helps, at least helps me, to have a larger-than-life character you can build a book about around. And this one is sort of the largest I could possibly come up with. He's a poet, he's a refusenik, he's a constant underdog who always ends up on top. He's a Trump supporter. He is bound by nothing at all, which is a hoot.
And that is the enigma that you present, the fact that he's all these things and yet he's a Trump supporter. How did that happen, and how did this happen to America?
I have no idea. I can tell you why it happened to my fictional character, and I think the word I would use is love. I mean, he loves Trump. He doesn't just support Trump. You know, I supported Hillary. My fictional character loves Trump. Actually, his son, his fictional son, also supported Hillary. So it's a very interesting problem, a very interesting conflict of fathers and sons. That's partly fictional, partly real. Because there are so many of its real equivalents. So I was trying to be a journalist and a novelist at the same time, but I was writing obviously fiction because none of this really exists. There's no chateau. There is no, all the characters are totally made up. Actually, there are a couple that I kind of borrowed from my life, but not from Florida.
Bill has something that a friend of mine has. He can walk by a pile of furniture, and he can spot the treasures in there. And when Bill goes to the chateau, man, is he in for a surprise when he sees some of the decor.
Oh, God. I did make that up, but it was kind of my fantasy of what a building like that would look like. And it would have a lot of Danish modern, but mostly it would have and you know, sectionals of various kinds, and all of it is like molded. It would have quite a bit of knoll furniture, and all of it is just not appreciated. It's kind of piled up and molding and torn up, and nobody really likes it very much because it's been passed. The time has passed for it.
And Bill, when he arrives at the chateau, he's been warned. They said, don't speak Russian. And he is fluent in Russian. And this gives him an advantage throughout the book, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. It makes him overhear things. It lets him overhear things, which is incredibly helpful in this case. Because if you're, you know, if you're a reporter, you want to be a fly on the wall. And that's kind of something I always do myself, is like I won't necessarily, you know, if I have to be speaking with somebody, I will always represent myself. I will always identify myself as who I am. But if I'm just wandering about and catching kind of the color of the thing, it's interesting. And what interested me was the language of Russian Florida, which is actually, it's always some of it, chunks of it are actual Russian. But when arguments break out in public, it's English, but without articles. And yes, Bill is instructed by his fictional father, or fictional Bill, as if he is instructed by his fictional father, to listen in, because what the father is hoping to have happen is that he would be mistaken for an FBI agent or an agent of this interesting, rather strange Florida agency called Department of Business and DBPR, and Professional Regulation, DBPR, which his father describes as Department of Bribery and Profitable Relationships. So there's this, so he's like wandering around. And by the way, the father and son do not look very much alike. And so there's this fiction of that they're maintaining of not being related to each other. And he's seen as the inspector, the government inspector. So that's the Gogol bit, mistaken identity.
Mm. The book is The Chateau. Paul Goldberg wrote it. You have so many surreal moments, and I'm not going to say what they are, but when Bill arrives at the chateau, he is greeted by a woman in a very interesting way. And then early on in the story, his father takes him to visit some neighbors in another intriguing way. And there's this neighbor who's a war hero from the Battle of the Bulge. I love this guy.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh my God. He is actually one of the few. There are two characters that I actually model on my friends, and this guy is modeled on a very great friend of mine, named Saul Green, who was a PhD immunologist. He actually was a GI, and he did fight in the Battle of the Bulge, and he did liberate the camps. So I'm kind of Dachau, to be exact. So I'm just kind of casting him in there. He had nothing to do with the chateau or Florida, for that matter. He may have been there a few times, but he looked exactly like Sean Connery. In fact, the two of them actually met once, which was hilarious. They looked like twins. So that's the character. He sits there drunk in the middle of the night and shoots his machine gun into the ocean. Really cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's like Bill is watching this go on and he says, oh man, I hope nobody's out there. Hope nobody's out there in the ocean. This guy's fired his gun off the balcony.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he's drunk. He has an excuse. And they actually, The other character, so he's, you know, Sol Green's really not, well, Johnny Schwartz, I call him, but he's totally Sol Green of blessed memory. Another character, Alex. Alex is based on a friend of mine that I used to drink a lot of vodka with, whose name was Alexander Karsunsky. He was a Soviet-trained economist who actually appeared as a character in two underground plays, which I love very much, and also a poem. So he and I used to get drunk all the time, and so I kind of remembered that. He kind of drank in that certain way more than a gusto. It was more of a... an exercise in almost the metaphysical exercise. Mm. It wasn't just dark. He never got hangovers, and he did die of cirrhosis of the liver, alas. But I brought him back and put him in the chateau, and I had one of these animated conversations with him, and not just animated, but also lubricated. So that was fun to bring him back. The woman who greets Bill in a strange way that you will see is actually she comes out of an entirely different place. After the election, I read a ton of Brecht, like everything I could find at my neighborhood independent bookstore, Politics and Prose, and everything I could get on. Libris and Abe Books. So it's like basically I sat down and read all of Brecht, and suddenly this character appeared. Mm. Brecht was, to me, I don't know, there was just something about Germans that spoke to me. I mean, German intellectuals of the era that spoke to me as the election was playing out, or after it had played out. So this character, Rosa Kissel, is completely, she doesn't come out of any Brecht play, but she is my kind of a visceral reaction to Brecht at the time of the Trump election.
You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, giving voice to our community, our nation, and our world since 1958. My guest is Paul Goldberg. His novel is The Chateau, just out today. This book is very funny and very dark, and I think that's a lovely combination.
Oh, thank you.
You are a comedian.
Am I?
You may not realize it, but you are a comedian.
I have been writing comedy forever, but most of what I do during the day is my day job is not truly comedy, but it does have a comic aspect to it. I guess I did write a comedy about Stalin's death last time around.
Uh-huh.
And this, by the way, is a trilogy. I know what happens in the next novel, but I haven't quite figured out what happens in the third.
Are you saying father and son are coming back for another run?
Well, how would I do it without spoilers?
Okay.
I can tell you that the events at the chateau will continue, and there will be some massive flashbacks.
Mm.
I don't want to tell you how that ends. I don't want to. Well, you know how it ends, but I don't want to tell your listeners how it ends.
I know how it ends. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what happens in this book is leaves open the question of governance. How will how will governance of this fictional condominium occur? So let's say, I can't even go there.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I understand.
Well, I could to some extent. Maybe you could help me on that one. It's almost like a Bolshevik paradigm. You know, you you take power, and then what do you do? Mm. You win, and then what do you do? It becomes a little bit more complicated. We also saw this administration being at a bit of a loss after the inauguration. You still see them kind of stumbling in ways that can be entirely avoided some of the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we are recording this, we just saw the first version of President Trump's budget, and it looks like it's going to really go after entitlements like Medicare, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. I look at the research part of it, and there the real disaster was averted. They were about to cut NIH by quite a bit, and I would certainly hope that all of the people who supported the president would never get ill, because if you destroy the NIH, especially now that very good things are happening in science, that would be a disaster. But then, you know, first, so there's this budget, there's this document that he is publishing and or has published, which calls for an enormous cut. And then there's another document that restores the cut because Congress had basically told them, hey, don't do that. And it's sort of interesting, and for NIH at least, it was, you know, Congress didn't go along with his last effort to cut NIH. So why is he doing this? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know how much planning goes on in that White House.
Well, I think he's being told by his advisors what he should do. It doesn't seem like he's coming up with a whole lot of this on his own.
Well, I'm sure this is far back, but this is deep. On the other hand, I would think that NIH is a pretty visible part of the system. It's research.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not guided by research, by the way, not much is going to happen that's any good. Science is important. These battles have been won a long time ago, and just being anti-science is very interesting. Also, you know, look at what he's doing with climate change. You know, Medicare, Medicaid, that's, I can see it's the poor and the vulnerable and the elderly. But look at something like climate change. It's just completely denied. It's not happening. I'm not convinced that it's not happening. It's clearly happening. And here is Florida. This is one of the things in the chateau. The character is looking at this and wondering, how is it that these people who come to Florida essentially to die are trying to stuff the planet into the coffin with them? He kind of tries to be angry about it, but he also can't be. For some reason.
Uh-huh. Well, if the oceans do rise, as some climatologists predict, Florida would certainly go underwater very quickly, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's ground zero,
yeah,
of climate change. And it's not like you can in any way build fortresses to protect it and sea walls or anything like that, because the whole thing is like a sponge. It's a swamp.
Mm-hmm.
So you see it.
Yeah.
You drive around and you see enormous puddles that weren't there a few years ago. And yet people are building these enormous buildings and filling up the Biscayne Bay with water running in and running off, and you can't. The pumps are running, and you can't really do a whole lot to keep that from happening. There's simply no way. So that's kind of happening as well in this book, because as a science writer, Bill kind of gets it, and he's insulted by it, and yet it's happening, and it's happening politically, and his people or his father's people, especially the Russians, are very much in love with a climate change denier.
My guest is Paul Goldberg. His new novel is The Chateau, and I do not want to neglect to mention that this is also a love story.
Kind of, yes. Bill does have a love interest. She's been called kind of a femme fatale, except she doesn't want his destruction, but what she really is trying to do is be supportive. She is the one who pushes him out to do this book because he was very helpful to her at one point. So it's kind of a love story, but this guy is really in enough trouble that he doesn't really have much room in his heart for much other than survival. And then there's a lot of vodka, so there's a lot of love of vodka as well in this book.
I have a lot of favorite scenes, but I think one of my top ones would be when Bill goes over to the home of his friend, the one who jumped off the building, and he's trying to figure out what happened. And he goes over there, and he finds something. He's driving a Prius, his dad's car, and he finds something, and he jams it into the car and drives off. And then after that, there's much hilarity about the contents of that box. It's very funny.
Oh, my. Yeah. The box is filled with very, very expensive clothes that fit Bill. So Bill is trying to put them all these things on, and they fit him, like, badly. I mean, they fit him. It's his size, but it's not his personality. And I'm not sure it's anybody's personality. It's what I did was I called my daughter, who is a costume designer, and asked her to help me design a wardrobe that is super luxurious, but speaks of nothing, just no personality involved. Sort of like it only shows wealth. So, and some of these things, you know, are bought, but there's really no need for them, so they're kind of left as they are. So there's a lot of Gucci and so forth, and Ferragami, and various very expensive jeans. And that's his college roommate's stuff, that the college roommate's widow put in the box for Salvation Army and sent out. So, you know, so he's putting on these clothes, and they don't fit, or they fit but they don't look right. And it's kind of hilarious because he just changes from his wonky Washington kind of reporter look to a Florida Gold Coast plastic surgeon getup. It doesn't go well.
Yeah,
nothing in this book goes well.
The wardrobe that he styles in, it's somewhat emblematic of his dead friend's occupation and some of the billboards around town, but we'll leave that to readers to discover.
Yes, the billboards are important. Well, Florida is filled with really interesting billboards, we know.
Yeah. Well, Paul, it's been a pleasure having you back on the show.
Thank you very much, Rick.
My guest,
thanks for having me.
You betcha. My guest has been Paul Goldberg, and his new novel is The Chateau. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McKeonis.